In the past few weeks, we have been discussing truth matters. Everybody, say that with me. Say that with me. Truth matters. In the book of Acts, you will study the history of how the church got started, how it grew. You will learn about the Holy Spirit. Truth matters. For example, what was the first message ever given by the apostles? What is the most important truth people need to know? You will find that. Remember, I gave that message a few weeks ago. What is the most important message? It's about Jesus, his death and resurrection. Today, you are going to learn, how do you deal with oppositions? How do you deal with disappointments? How do you deal with problems? Because truth matters. What is the truth about problems? We are going to teach you today. The reality is this. Whether you look for problems, you don't look for problems. Whether you like problems, you don't like problems, problems will come. Yes or no? How many of you have problems? Raise your hands. You have problems today. How many of you don't have problems? You know, this is the most honest people in the world. You are very honest. All of us have problems. The problem is this. What happens if you have problems? Not because you did something wrong, but you have problems because you did something right. Is that discouraging? Let me repeat. It's one thing to have problems caused by our own stupidity, our own bad choices. For example, I know of singles, I know of many people, they did not obey their parents, they made bad choices, bad friends, they got involved in premarital sex, they become pregnant. These are unnecessary problems. It's self-inflicted. However, I also know people who have problems, not because of their mistakes, but they did what is right. Example, I know of some government officials who wanted to be honest. And by being honest, they were not promoted. I know of some employees, they wanted to be honest. They lost their job by being honest. Be honest, how will you feel? By doing something right, you get into trouble. Is that discouraging? I think so. Today, I'm going to teach you, how do you deal with problems that's caused by others? In fact, even by your own problems. I want to teach you. Are you ready to listen? In Acts chapter 4, let's read together now, everybody. As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up on them. Notice the Bible says, as they were speaking to the people. What were they speaking? Do you know what they were speaking? If you were here last week, remember Pastor Ricky? He talked about this amazing healing, and they continued to draw attention. And notice, what were they speaking? Being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Remember the first message? It's about the resurrection of Jesus. Yes or no? The second message, about the resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection of Jesus is foundational. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, forget Christianity. The reason why you and I worship Jesus, because he claimed to be God, the Son of God, and he rose again from the dead. That is the basis of our faith, the resurrection. Remember, without the resurrection, there is no real Christianity. All you have is a religion. But because of the resurrection, Christianity is real. You know why? It's a relationship with God through Jesus. So they were disturbed. And the Bible tells us, what did these people do? They laid hands on them, put them in jail until the next day. Now, imagine yourself. You're obeying the Lord. You're obedient to Jesus. And by being obedient to Jesus, you end up in jail. Now, how would you react? Tell me, be honest. How would you react? For many people, they get discouraged. You know what they will say in Tagalog? Kung ganyan lang man, ayaw ko na. In English, if it's going to be like this, forget it. I give up. Many people do not know the theology of disappointment, of suffering, because they don't study the Bible. Or they are given false teachings that if you are in Christ and you obey Him, you will not have problems. No, there are groups like that. They are extreme. If you walk with Jesus, you should not have problems. And the reason why you have problems is because you are in sin. Understand those kind of wrong theology? The reason why you're having problems is because God is not happy with you. He's punishing you. Now, if you have that kind of theology, and then you have problems, you will surely be discouraged. I know of men and women who separated wrong theology. You need to understand theology. So, what's the topic today? Remember, it is not what happens to you that is important. It is how you respond to what happens to you. Do you understand? What happens to you is outside your control. But how you respond is everything. So the message today is very simple. Everybody read. Be courageous. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be courageous. The word courageous comes from Latin. Cor, heart. Courageous. You keep on pursuing what is right. You see, the word courageous does not mean the absence of fear. Courageous is keep on doing what is needed to be done, even in the presence of fear. So, courageous, to be courageous is a virtue. It is something you can teach your children, the ability to do what is needed in spite of fear. It is never the absence of fear. So we need to learn to be courageous. Now the Bible is very clear. We are commanded to be courageous. Let's read this together. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. What is the opposite of being courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The basis of courage is God is with us. Amen? So why should you be courageous? Because God is with us. So the early church were persecuted. They had problems. So what did they do? They were courageous. But they knew their theology. If you don't know theology, you will really get shocked and you'll be discouraged. You will say, how come I'm having financial problem? How come I'm not being promoted? How come I have all kinds of problems? I've discovered there are many kinds of problems. Certain problems are self-inflicted. You know what's self-inflicted? Example, you don't obey your parents. You get into drugs. You go into premarital sex. And suddenly, you discover you are pregnant out of wedlock. Is it a problem caused by God or is it you? It's our foolish decisions. Many times we have problems based on our foolishness. But even in spite of that, if you learn to repent, God will make something bad into something good. Now, there's another kind of problem, not caused by us, not inflicted by us. It's by others who don't like us. So Jesus is a great discipler. He warned his disciples. Jesus told them in advance, remember the word that I said to you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You see, Jesus warned his disciples, hey guys, I'm warning you. You'll be persecuted. Many Christians have no idea. They are not prepared because your expectations are completely wrong. You think if you are in Christ, you should live happily ever after. I submit to you, if you are in Christ, yes, you will live happily ever after. But in the meantime, there will be problems. There can be problems. So Peter learned this lesson and he wrote to his people. Everybody, let's read this together. In this, you greatly rejoice. Notice, your attitude is everything. About problems. Something that's outside your control is what happens to you. But what is within your control? Your attitude. In this you greatly rejoice. Everybody read. Even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. In other words, your trials, in God's perspective, is really for a little while. Compared to eternity, whatever you are going through is just a little while. And if necessary, God will not allow you to have unnecessary problems. All problems, believe it or not, passes through God's approval. He must have a purpose. Continue reading. So that, everybody read, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying the purpose of your trial is the proof, so that the proof of your faith. How will you know you're a real Christian? How will you know? It is when you're disappointed with life. It is when you're having problems. Will you continue trusting in the Lord? You see, faith will be tested. The proof of your faith, it has to be refined. Praise God. He wants to refine. He wants me to grow in faith. What's the purpose? For the glory of God. It's all about Him. James, the brother of Jesus, said the same thing. But you know what? Before I go to James, let me tell you about Peter. You know what he said? Everybody read. It is better. If God should will it so, you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. You see, the truth is you and I will suffer. You will have disappointments. But God is saying, better your problem is not caused by you doing stupid things. And James, the brother of Jesus, wrote the following. Let's read. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Notice the attitude. All joy. That's an attitude. It's a crazy attitude. Why should I be joyful? By the way, don't use this verse when you go to a funeral parlor, okay? When somebody dies, don't use this verse. Your husband died? Hallelujah. No, no, no. This is just for you to learn how to apply this. Sometimes you have to use discretion. You have to use wisdom in using Bible verses, okay? When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing, notice, the testing of your faith, same principle, produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. It has to do with character development. This week, last Sunday, in our family reunion, we usually have a family gathering. My daughter, bless her heart, she was sharing with us some of her discouragement. You see, my daughter Joy, when she went through the operation, she was really thinking, after this pain, everything, hopefully, no more problem. But you see, she began to be concerned. Because last Sunday, she told us, I'm afraid I may have to go through operation again. And we said, why? Because she's always afraid that her intestines might somehow be, what is that medical term? When you say, when they, adhesion, because of endometriosis, whatever that is, when there's adhesion, it affects your bowel movement. But when we look at my daughter, when we look at her, all of us, especially my wife, she was tearing up. Because it's really hard to explain to people, why, Lord, why? I thought I'm already gonna get well. But praise God, okay? I mean, right now I'm not saying she has adhesion, but this was her fear. And I realize many of you may feel discouraged today. Because you have problems, and they're lingering. And you're thinking, what will happen? You see, the devil wants you to think of the worst. But the truth is this. When God allows problems, it's for our character development. Now, believe you, anyway, whatever that term is, we were very careful. We did not use any Bible verse, understand? On that Sunday night, we were just listening, praying, hugging. But nobody, I praise God, used a Bible verse to hit my daughter on the head. What's wrong with you? The Bible says, consider it all joy. Your name is joy. Be joyful. My goodness. We didn't do that. Now, if you want to know the outline of today's message, just one main point. What's the main point? Be courageous. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, be courageous. Now, what should be your attitude? Be very simple. Number one, problems are inevitable. Problems are opportunities. Jesus is risen. That's how you overcome. That's how you develop courage. And God is in control. So these are the main ideas I'm going to give you. But listen to me. Only one main point you must remember when I see you next week in Mega Mall. What's the message? Be courageous. Don't ever tell me, Pastor, that was a nice message. And then I ask you, what's the message? Pastor, nice. No. I want you to be courageous. Now notice. Look at what the apostles did. What happened? But many of those who had heard the message believed. And the number of men came to be about how many? 5,000. I want you to remember the first message in Acts chapter 2. How many came to Christ? 3,000. A few days later, after this preaching, how many came to Christ? 5,000. Men only. That means the church has suddenly expanded. You know, I hear people say, you know, we want a small church. We want intimacy. My friend, I do not know where they get their theology. All I know is something like this. If you are preaching the gospel, if your people are loving, if the church is healthy, God will add the numbers and the church will become big. Whether you like it or not, the church has to grow. There's no such thing as a church that will not grow if it is healthy. Amen? So what do? As we grow bigger, we keep putting up satellites and we keep having small groups. That's why small group is important. You will never develop intimacy in a big group. Any group that's more than 30, you hardly will have intimacy. So Jesus is smart. Maximum 12. Of course, some of you are better than Jesus. You have a D group of 100 people. Praise God. But I tell you, small group is crucial. And the Bible tells us that's how they grew. God was involved. God was multiplying them. Now, the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there. Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly descent. I want you to imagine now, okay? You are Peter and John. And the next day, you spend the whole night in jail. I wonder what they were praying, okay? But I'm sure they were praying, Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, what should we do? And then you have all of these leaders. Annas, high priest. Caiaphas, his son-in-law. John, Alexander, the son of Annas. In other words, history tells us the high priests were controlled by a few families. Historically, 6 families. They wanted to maintain power. And the Bible tells us, when they placed them in the center, they began to inquire. Notice, you are facing all of these religious leaders. It's called the Sanhedrin. It's the Supreme Court of the Jewish people right in Israel, in Jerusalem. You have the Supreme Court, 70 of them, Sadducees, high priests, all learned people. Plus one, the high priest, so total 71. So they gathered together. Can you not put yourself in their shoes? Surrounded by all of these people, what were they asked? I love this question. Let's read together. By what power or in what name have you done this? What this? Remember the crippled man? He could not walk for how many years? For 40 years. And now he's walking and leaping. I tell you, opportunities are not only, problems are not just inevitable. Be courageous. You know why? Problems are opportunities. Look at this opportunity. My goodness, what better way than to tell them the truth? So Peter, everybody please read. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. The grammar, Peter, having been filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, chapter 2, he was continuously filled with the Holy Spirit up to now. By the way, those of you who attended the Holy Spirit class, by the way, how many of you are Spirit-filled today? You are full of the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled. Raise your hand. Higher. You mean to tell me some of you are not Spirit-filled? How in the world can you live the Christian life without being filled with the Holy Spirit? I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. If I were you, get the video on my Holy Spirit class. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we need to preach this again, Brother Ricky, how to be Spirit-filled. Notice, rulers and elders of the people, God is the one that gives us courage. Remember, my strength comes from the Lord, comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom what to say. Look at what Peter said. Rulers, elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel. Notice, can you imagine the tone of Peter's voice? Was he angry or was he polite? I believe he was very polite. Emphatic. He said, how did this man get well? Everybody read. By the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. What better opportunity to give a testimony, to proclaim Jesus in front of all the leaders of the entire nation. Is God amazing? God allowed this problem to happen so that all the leaders, the unbelievers, the leaders, will now listen to his testimony. And he said, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, he raised again from the dead. Notice the emphasis on the resurrection of Christ. It is Jesus who healed. And then he continued, he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. Now, you must understand, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, including the apostles, they know the Bible. Peter is now inspired by the Holy Spirit, is using an Old Testament prophecy. What is the prophecy? The stone which was rejected by you, the builders, has become the chief cornerstone. So that you will understand the prophecy, I'll give you a sample of the prophecy mentioned in the Old Testament. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118 is a prophetic psalm also. Isaiah, one of the most prophetic books in the Old Testament. Look at what Isaiah said. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, notice, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. And now notice, he who believes in it will not be disturbed. Huh. What is a cornerstone? Well, my friend, if you see in the days of Jesus, during the Roman Empire, when they construct buildings, the most important stone is this. This is the cornerstone. It determines the direction of the entire building. Left, right. Understand? This is foundational. It's called cornerstone. And the Bible uses it to describe Jesus. Look at Ephesians. Everybody read together. You are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. In other words, we are fellow citizens, God's household. We are one family, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Who are the apostles and the prophets? The apostles wrote the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus. That's what he's talking about. And the prophets, the Old Testament. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Our church, our faith, even your life is built on Jesus Christ, not on religion. It's on Jesus Christ. And he continues, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Look at the metaphor. We are a spiritual building. Our foundation is Jesus. And that's why we are part of each other. There is no lone ranger in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, and you don't want to be part of a small group, you don't want to be part of any local church, my friend, you are out of place, and you don't know theology. The Bible tells us we are being fitted together. Let's read. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You see, the Bible tells us God dwells among his people. Amen? He dwells in my heart. He dwells in your heart. That's where two or three are gathered in thy name. I'm in your midst. That's amazing theology. So Peter is using it. Now look at his opportunity to talk about Jesus. This is most amazing. Peter said, imagine now, addressing the rulers. Everybody read. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Peter was courageous to declare the truth. According to him, there is salvation in no one else. You see, Christianity is very exclusive. At the same time, it is very inclusive. Many people will accuse us. You know, the problem with you Christians, you are so dogmatic. You are so critical of other religion. My friend, it's not us. In fact, my suggestion is be loving in declaring the truth. What do I mean by being loving? Look at what Peter said. There is salvation in no one else. In other words, there is only one name. There's only one person who can save us. No other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Assumption, people are lost apart from Christ. If you don't have conviction, you will not have courage. Peter is simply echoing the statement of Jesus. Jesus said, everybody read now, Jesus said together, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I've seen many people, even politicians, even church leaders, they will say, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Period. No. Don't stop there. The next part is equally important. No one comes to the Father but through me. Ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus telling the truth? Louder. You have choices. If you don't believe in Jesus, then he is not the only way. There are many ways. I grew up in a culture. I call this Asian culture. Where my father used to say, all religions are good. All religions are the same. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you are sincere. Because all religion will teach you to be good. That is the common mindset of a lot of us. Here comes this person. 2,000 years ago. He made the most amazing claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. And then his disciples echoed the same thing. There is salvation in no one else. No other name given under heaven by which you and I can be saved apart from Jesus. You know what Jesus is saying? Religion will not save us. Joining a church will not save you. Joining a denomination will not save you. The only salvation that's available is who? Jesus Christ. You know why? He is the cornerstone. He's the Son of God. He died and rose again. Hallelujah. He is our Savior. I want to show you a video of men, especially women, men and women, but the video is about two women who had conviction about Jesus as the only way. Look at their courage. Okay, these two women were imprisoned in a Muslim country. But look at their testimony. Would you like to listen? It's a short video. All right, let us show the video. These two women who were put in prison.
One of my interrogators talked to me and he was very angry and he told me that I heard that you're talking to prisoners about Jesus. And I told him, yes, of course we talk to prisoners about Jesus because I believe that it's not our fault, it's your fault because you arrested us and you put us in that prison and prisoners are curious. They ask us why you are here, what is your charge? So we had to explain to them that why we are here. So it's not our fault, it's your fault. And they were angry. They were angry about this, but they couldn't do anything. And that's why we believe that even though the Iranian government had tried to silence us by keeping us in that prison, but we had more opportunity to share the message of salvation with many prisoners. And also, we believe that the Evin prison and the detention that Mariam explained became our church. Because before we got arrested, we had a different view about church. That church is just a nice building that we can attend, we can worship God. We can enjoy our fellowship, but later we understood that no, it's not true. Everywhere can be a church, even a dark and brutal place like Evin prison.
Praise God, my friend. Be courageous. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, be courageous. Be courageous for Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 4:13. Let's read together. As they observed the courage, the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. My friend, courage does not come from higher education. Courage comes from knowing Jesus. When the Bible says they were untrained, uneducated, the Bible is not saying they are illiterate. No. But the Bible is saying they were not educated in the rabbinical school. They were not educated in a seminary. They were not trained. They were ordinary men and women. But one qualification, most important, they know Jesus. They have been with Jesus. And notice, seeing the man who had been healed, standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. Now, this is most amazing. In Tagalog, nasupalpang na naman. They cannot deny the fact. You know, this is another proof that Jesus died and rose again. Let me tell you why. If Jesus did not rise again from the dead, you know what the Pharisees would do? The Sadducees, the captains? They would produce the bones of Jesus. They would say, come. Look at the grave of Jesus. His body is still here. But they could not produce the body. They could not produce the grave. They could not produce the burial place. You know why? The tomb is empty. My friend, you cannot deny. It would have been so easy for Christianity to die. Because those people, it is just 60 days ago. They know where Jesus was buried. But they cannot produce it. You know why? It's the truth. Jesus died then, rose again. Notice, these educated religious leaders, what shall we do with these men? For the fact a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know, they are the moment of insight. And you know what happened? They met together and they said, you know what? It's about time we repent and let's accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Is that what they did? What did they do? You will learn something about human nature. Facts, truth, does not make somebody a Christian. You can know everything and have a hard heart. These people knew. They cannot deny. You know what they did? So that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? After knowing everything, the conclusion is this. Shut them up. Now, how can people act like that? My friend, listen to me. The Bible tells us the heart is more deceitful than all else. When your heart is not right, because you are in sin, or you are doing something contrary to the will of God, no amount of truth, no amount of presentation can convince you. So don't be surprised now. Listen to me. When you talk about Jesus, some will believe and some will not believe. It's nothing personal against you. It's between them and the Lord. My job is to tell people in the most loving way the truth. But if people have different agenda, listen to me. I guarantee you, they will not accept, they will not follow Jesus. You know why? Because sin is very deceitful. Remember this quotation from Rabbi, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And I've seen people, they allow sin to deceive their heart. They cannot understand the truth because they enjoy the sin more than the truth. Listen, my friend, repentance is crucial. Without repentance, without renouncing your sin before God, your heart will be deceitful. So no matter what I say here, you'll just keep on listening and listening and not do anything about it. How do you explain why many people go to worship, but not many will obey? It's because the heart, your heart, is deceitful. You give excuses, you justify. And that to me is scary. The Bible tells us if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are dying, to those who are perishing. Everybody read. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The Bible tells us the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And that's why you need to be prayerful. And that's why you need to be courageous. Problems are inevitable. Problems are opportunities. But courage comes from knowing the truth that Jesus is risen. Jesus is real. If you don't have this conviction that people are lost, you will be timid. You will not talk about Jesus. You know why? You'll just be a silent believer. So for the apostles, look at what they said. Peter and John answered and said to them, everybody read now, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. My friend, I submit to you, people who have religion will not be excited about Jesus. But people who have encountered Jesus, your life has been transformed. You have been healed by Jesus. I tell you, you cannot help it but talk about Jesus. My wife and I've seen my wife has seen me. Anywhere we go, sooner or later, when we're with strangers, with friends, sooner or later, our topic will be about Jesus. You know why? I know the truth that Jesus has died and rose again, and he has touched my life. You got to have conviction. What is conviction? Know what you believe, know why you believe and experience the truth. If you have not experienced Jesus, you will not be excited, really. You'll be embarrassed to talk about Jesus. You will not want to talk about Jesus. You would rather be politically correct than talk about Jesus. But if you know the truth, people are lost. Apart from Jesus, I guarantee you, you will do everything to talk about Jesus. You know why? Because you will love them. If you don't love people, you will not talk about Jesus. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis to put them in jail. Can you imagine? They even threatened them. And the Bible tells us, on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened, for the man was more than 40 years old in whom this miracle took place. In other words, they couldn't deny the reality, but they just threatened them. Can I tell you, have you been threatened by people? Yes or no? Well, let me tell you, I'm going to warn you today, be courageous. Do not allow men to scare you. You know, Jesus warned them, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and afterward that they have no more than they can do. Don't be afraid of men. The worst they can do is kill you. But Jesus said, I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. The fear of God will prevent you from fearing men. If you fear men, you will not fear God. If you fear God, you will not fear men. I fear the Lord. I honor him. But if you fear men, you will not fear the Lord. The Bible tells us, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders have said to them. You know, courage, believe it or not, will help you respond properly. Now, in the early church, they have small groups. They have groups. So they went back to their groups to tell them what has happened. Some of you don't have any groups. You need to be like the early church. You have companions. And the Bible tells us, when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said. Notice, their courage is based on their high view of God. They are now using the Old Testament to declare who God is. This verse tells us, literally, if you look at the original Greek language, the idea here is from the word despotes. Lord, the word despot, have you heard of that word despot? It has a negative connotation, but in reality, the meaning is your absolute master, absolute ruler. You made the heavens, you made the earth, and then through the prophet, you prophesied. What did they prophesy? Acts 4:26. This is a quotation from Psalm chapter 2. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware? This is the exact quotation in the book of Psalm. It's a prophetic psalm about Jesus. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord, Yahweh, and against his Christ, Messiah. What is he talking about? For you to appreciate, courage comes from knowing the truth, comes from knowing that God is in complete control. Let me give you a bonus. To understand Psalm, you have to realize, no, this is just Psalm 1 up to verse 12, okay? From Psalm 1 to 12, the entire Psalm is about Jesus, prophecy. So let me give you the beginning. I will read to you the beginning of Psalm 1, and I'll read you the ending of Psalm. Okay? So Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, talks about why did the Gentiles rage, exact quotation, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, Messiah. And then the last two verses, the closure, you will notice, worship the Lord with reverence, Everybody read, please. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish. How blessed are all who take refuge in him, referring to the Son. The entire Psalm chapter 2 is about Jesus. Do homage to the Son. Which Son? The Son of God. For truly, how was this fulfilled? He's now saying, God is in complete control. He's never taken by surprise. We don't have to be afraid of men. In truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. He now mentioned Herod and Pontius Pilate, the governor from Rome, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. My friend, the reason why you can be courageous is because God is sovereign. God is in control. As somebody once said, the history of the world has been written. The end of history has been written. Do you know what is written? I will tell you. I saw this in our prayer mountain. History has been written. Everybody read. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. History has been written. At the name of Jesus, someday, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. My friend, you can be courageous because God is in control. Nothing happens to you apart from his permission, and his destiny, his purpose will eventually be fulfilled in your own private life. Amen? So, shall we be courageous? All right, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, be courageous. God is in control. And now, as we close, read the following. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence. Notice they prayed for courage. Amazing prayer. They did not pray, Lord, take away this problem. Lord, get me out of here. No, no, no. They prayed for one thing. What is that one thing? Everybody read. That their bond servants may speak your word with all confidence. Boldness, my friend, it comes from God. While you extend your hand to heal, signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Everybody read. When they had prayed, everybody, let's read. When they had prayed, what happened? The place where they gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. With boldness. My friend, be courageous. Whether people believe or not, be courageous enough to share the gospel. Be courageous enough to speak out. Take a stand. Whether they get angry at you or not, that's God's department. And may I suggest, be courageous to love the unlovable. Do you have people around you that are not so loving? Maybe it's your neighbor. Ah, no, no, no. Don't know your neighbor. Love the unlovable. Be courageous enough to ask for forgiveness. And be courageous enough to forgive. We need courage, ladies and gentlemen, especially in today's society. But to be courageous, you need to learn to pray. God is in control. Amen? Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, and you want to be courageous, to share your faith, above all, to share your faith by living a lifestyle that brings honor to God, why don't you make that commitment? You say, Lord, help me be courageous to share my faith. Will you raise your hands if you want to make that commitment to talk about Jesus? Praise God. Praise God. Bring them down. Some of you have never experienced Jesus. You are not excited to talk about Jesus. You know why? Because you don't even know him. You like me to pray for you. You want to have an encounter with Jesus. Will you raise your hands? I'll pray for you. Higher. You never had a personal encounter. All you have is religion. You have been here, but you don't get excited about Jesus because you don't really know him. You raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Higher. Praise God. Higher, higher. Now, all of you who wants to have a personal encounter with Jesus, listen to me. Raise your hands up and pray with me. Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to have a real encounter with you. I want to experience real transformation from your very presence. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want you to make yourself real in my life. Change my heart. My heart is hardened. My heart is deceitful. Lord, change me. I want to know you more. And I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.